And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, covering down on some major ground across the southeast U.S. of A. Y'all, I'm talking about this show. Whew, I mean, it goes, literally goes from, like, Huntsville back over to Chattanooga. I'm talking about from Tuscaloosa back to Gadsden. I mean, down to that lovely little village on the plains we call Auburn, straight across the border from there to what we now get to once again call Fort Benning. Fort Benning! And then, oh, by the way, big old patches of North Georgia and Mississippi thrown in just for good measure. And that's just the radio. So, yeah, thank you to all of our online audience as well. We love you. All you people all over the place. Hey, by the way, I got a text message real quick. I got to tell you, Chris from Sterrett, Alabama says, I vote for a statue of JP in Times Square wearing equipment from every sport possible.
I'm all for that. I'm all for that.
Speaking of JP, we're going to jump off of talking politics and policy and all the things that happen in culture wars. And every Friday we do a thing we call JP on Sports. JP brings his prolific, and I mean prolific, knowledge of all things sports and even weaves some culture into it just to make sure that it stays, you know, happening. But, yeah, we call this JP on Sports, two rounds. First round is called the three and out. He gives us the top three stories. We come back from the break and we do the 2 minute warning where I've got a timer and a buzzer and it's 2 minutes on each story that he wants to run with. It's also all brought to you by our friends at Inspire Advisors, and I'll tell you more about them in just a few minutes. He's got his own sound effect, courtesy of sorority girls from Auburn. Play it.
JP on Sports!
It's so good, man.
It is.
It just makes me smile every time. All right, three and out, JP on Sports. What do you got?
Well, the NBA playoffs are starting to ramp up. We got the series are getting more contested, in my opinion. But what's really funny is, so the Celtics have now blown two 20-point leads against the Knicks in their series. So now they're down 0-2.
20-point leads.
Two 20-point leads back-to-back. So they're digging themselves a hole, the defending champs. But I think they're still talented.
Somebody's throwing a game somewhere.
Listen, the Knicks are good. You know, the Knicks are giving them a run for their money. So I think that series could be a Game 7 series, in my opinion. I think the Celtics will end up coming back. But we also got the Timberwolves and the Warriors, which got way more interesting because Anthony Edwards, which some people are saying should be in the MVP running, he actually got hurt in the last game. So a lot of question marks around if he's going to be able to come back. That would go a long way in determining who's going to win that series. Then we also got the Cavs up 2-0 and the Pacers, and then the Thunder and Nuggets are at 1-1. So yeah, right now we're starting to see the teams starting to, you know, separate themselves, you know, who are going to make a run for the championship at the end of the year. But right now, I don't know. The Knicks are playing really good, and you may have to look out for the Knicks, try to make a run. But also, you know, the Thunder are really hard to beat at the West too. So but yeah, a lot of great series is going on right now.
All right, NBA playoffs, big deals. So that's number one. And you think two 20-point leads in a row doesn't mean somebody's trying to – never mind.
Nah, I don't think so. I won't go there yet.
All right.
If they do another one, then maybe.
Yeah, somebody's throwing in the towel. All right, number two, what do you got?
So this is a very interesting story. So if – everyone remembers Trump was in Alabama. What was it, last week he was?
Yes.
I think it was last week. And apparently he met with Saban, you know, either before or after the graduation ceremony at Alabama. Also, Tuberville met with him as well. There's a picture of Tuberville sitting on Air Force One talking to Trump. Apparently they were talking NIL. But after that, it's now emerged that apparently Nick Saban is going to be co-chair of a commission on college sports that Trump is enacting. My first reaction or thought is, you know, what is this commission? What kind of authority do they have? I think you mentioned a great example of like they have that like ambassadors to Hollywood, right, from the White House. If it's going to be the same sort of ordeal as that, I don't know though, because there's been a lot of talk about a commissioner for college football because it's just at the point where the NCAA isn't doing its job leading. And they need sort of an NFL model, like a Roger Goodell type of figure, to enforce rules for college football only. And a lot of people said Nick Saban should be that guy, or but maybe a former coaches panel or something. So I don't know necessarily what sort of role he's going to play in this commission. I know one thing though, he'll have Trump's ear in terms of NIL and, you know, being able to enforce some actual action from the executive branch on this stuff. There's also rumors that Trump was thinking about writing an executive order in terms of NIL. So I don't know what that would look like either. But all I know is I think this is a step in the right direction. That I'm glad that, you know, Saban and Tuberville were able to use Trump being down in Alabama to talk to him about NIL.
Yeah,
because something's got to be done. So who knows? Who knows what else? You know, who else will be on this commission for college sports, or will it be just specific to college football, or just all college sports, basketball, baseball too? So I'm not. I think it's a little too early to know exactly what they'll be doing. But I think, like I said, Saban, you know, being able to talk to Trump on this is a big step in the right direction.
Can I have 10 seconds of time on it?
Yeah.
All right, 10 seconds of time. Just the bottom line is, I think an executive order is going to be tough because you're intervening in people's contracts. The only executive order I could see him doing would be to direct that certain things begin to take place or develop a plan. Otherwise, he'll take certain actions, but I don't think he can just immediately interpose himself in people's NIL contracts. That would just be a total, that'd be a total lawsuit mess.
Yeah. And that's why I was a bit confused or curious as to how they would go about it. Cause it's gotta be really specific. Like you said, like it can't just be like a blanket NIL has to be fixed. Like it has to be like specific in terms of whether it's collectives or if it's contract rules or whether it's players can't have certain representation until they're a certain age or as they'll be exploited to get, you know, may have bad decisions or whatever. I don't know, but I think it's very encouraging that Trump is willing to actually do something about it. And talk to guys like Saban and Tuberville, because I think I mentioned before, you know, Schumer apparently told Tuberville, it's like, well, you have no hope of getting anything done unless there's a union for college athletes.
Oh,
it's
wow.
Like, that's ridiculous. So
oh, wow.
I think it's very encouraging to have Trump, the president of the United States, willing to do something to help it because he cares about, you know, what's going on in college sports. So I think it's a big step in the right direction, but more to come. Let's see if Saban being the chair of this.
So you're saying Saban's a Republican now?
I don't think he's maybe woke Democrat anymore.
All right, man, that's two. What's three?
MLB season is still cranking up. You know, there's sort of a rule of don't even look at the standings in MLB until Memorial Day, which Memorial Day is what, like 2 or 3 weeks away. So we're starting to reach that point where we're kind of seeing where teams are, because to start the year, there's a lot of waves up and down. It's hard to tell what's, you know, tell what from what, but as we're, you know, getting into the summer, it looks like, you know, teams are starting to come into their own a little bit, and the perfect team that's doing that is the Braves right now, because the Braves went up 0-7 to start the season. No team has ever made the playoffs after starting 0-7. Especially with all the high anticipation to start the year, it was really shocking and concerning. But the Braves are 18-19 now, so they're cranking back up to 500. They're third place in the NL East right now, the Braves haven't even gotten their star player Ronald Acuna back from injury last year. So, as a Braves fan, I think it's very encouraging to see they're starting to get momentum going as we're reaching Memorial Day and about to go into the summer, and they haven't even gotten their star player back yet. So I think it's all encouraging signs. They got a walk-off win last night against the Reds. They got a series coming up this weekend against the Pirates, which is another great opportunity to sweep the Pirates because the Pirates are awful. But we'll see. I think the reports right now is that Acuna will be back late May, so around perfect timing going into the summer. I think all things are pointing to positive signs for the Braves right now, but fingers crossed. Baseball is a long season. A lot of bad things can happen. But I think right now it's encouraging to see what's going on in Atlanta.
All right, so we got time, so let me ask you this. I hear about the Braves, and they're coming back from their 0-7, but who do you see out there that is their serious, like their peer-to-peer contention right now? Who's their next adversary that they've got to deal with in order to advance?
I mean, the Dodgers are just running baseball right now. The Dodgers won the World Series last year. They set a record for how much they spent on players again this year.
Oh, yeah, they did.
So it's hard to beat the Dodgers because the Dodgers, they got Ohtani, Mookie Betts, Freddie Freeman. You know, just go down the list. Any sort of star you could think of, it looks like is getting bought up by the Dodgers. So as of right now, it's the Dodgers' World Series to lose, especially being defending champs, like I said. It's hard to see anybody else to contend with the Dodgers. I mean, the Yankees, who they played in the World Series last year, are probably a close second to the Dodgers. But also the Mets have been playing really well to start this year. The Mets had a surprise playoff run last year, so they're having another great season this year. But like I said, a lot of teams flash in the pan, go down, and until we reach around the summer mark, you can really see like a realistic, all right, these are the teams that are going to make a run for it. But right now, it's just the Dodgers. It's rather annoying, to be honest with you.
Spoken like a true Braves fan.
Because now they're just encouraged and incentivized to keep just writing blank checks to people and saying, you know. But who knows? Well, maybe eventually we'll get a salary cap. But until then, the Dodgers will just run baseball, it looks like.
Run baseball and print money.
I know. And it's Shohei Ohtani, what is it, $750 million contract for 10 years?
Oh, my God.
It's like filthy money. It's not even fair.
Filthy money. All right. That's a three and out. That's round one with JP on sports. We'll take a break right now. We'll come back for round number two. We call the 2-minute warning. I've got a timer and a buzzer, and we'll just run 2-minute segments. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just saving the world one soundbite at a time. All right, we're going to go to round number two of JP on Sports. And don't forget, it is brought to you by Inspire Advisors. And I'll tell you about Inspire Advisors more here in just a few minutes. All right, I got a timer. Let me get it ready. Are we ready to go? 2-minute warnings. Dude, go.
So I saw John from Huntsville wants hockey playoff talk, so I'll give him hockey playoff talk.
Uh-huh.
We got the Oilers are currently up 2-0 on the Golden Knights. We also got the Capitals and the Hurricanes at 1-1. The Maple Leafs are up 2-0 on the Panthers. And then finally we got the Dallas Stars, who are up 1-0 on the Winnipeg Jets. But I have to say, I'm not a massive hockey guy. However, I think the Stanley Cup is the greatest trophy in sports, and also I think it is the most exciting final series. Like the Stanley Cup hockey finals, I think, is the most exciting championship in sports. Have you seen the tradition that the Stanley Cup or the hockey guys do after winning the Stanley Cup? Everybody gets to hold the Stanley Cup and take a lap around the rink. You know, everybody from the starters to everybody on the bench as well.
Yeah.
I don't know. I like I said, I'm not a massive hockey guy. However, I always try to tune in for the Stanley Cup because I think that is the greatest trophy in sports.
It may be the biggest trophy in sports.
It is
too.
The biggest trophy in sports as well. But I have to admit, I have not watched much hockey playoffs, but it's coming near that time. I may have to tune in and start watching as we get closer to the Stanley Cup championship there.
By the way, it's kind of cool, is it's a cross-border sport. I know baseball has a little bit of that too, but there's more of that in hockey, isn't there?
Oh, yeah. Canadian teams are pretty dominant, or at least they have been in the past. I think it's starting to change a little bit. But also, I have to say too, the last hockey game I watched was U.S. versus Canada. I mean, that was a fun series there. So I think NHL is starting to do fun stuff like that to get more people tuned in regularly.
That was fun stuff, but that one had some angst tied to it too.
What made it fun?
That's exactly right. All right, you came in under the wire. Let me stop and reset the clock then. You had a few minutes, seconds to spare there. So ready, round 2-minute warning, go.
So I don't know if you saw this. I think we talked a little bit about it off air, but there was a hearing earlier this week. If you remember the story with USA Fencing where Stephanie Turner took the knee when she was going up against a male and refused to compete against him. And there was a male
who thinks he's a female.
Yes, there's a lot of drama around it, not just because of that, but people started to look into the chair of USA Fencing, this guy named Damien Lefeld. Man, I wouldn't want that guy anywhere near my daughters if I had him. He is a creep, and he made some Instagram posts, making fun of people who are emailing him. Concerned parents were emailing him about males participating in the sport against their daughters, and he was posting pictures, screenshots of the email, and posting them on social media and mocking them about it. So this guy is a can of worms. He is a real creep. Anyways, he went to testify before Congress alongside with Stephanie Turner.
They wore him out.
And there's actually Marjorie Taylor Greene put up a screenshot. Apparently, the morning before he went to testify, he put a picture, said game day, and he was flicking off the camera as if he doesn't care about this at all, sort of thing. But anyways, it's Stephanie Turner openly to his face, or not to his face, but he was on the same, you know, table, said that she doesn't want an apology from him. She wants true policy change. And he was all, you know, he Marjorie Taylor Greene really gave it to him as well. But it's a story that needs to be amplified. And, you know, even if there's not true policy change on this yet, I think it needs to open people's eyes that guys like Damien Leffeld are in charge of organizations that these people's kids take part in.
Yeah.
And it shook me up. Like, I can't believe the USA fencing chair is mocking parents for concerned about, you know, him letting guys go up against their daughters. So who knows? Maybe this will kickstart some change.
With like 5 seconds in there, was he at all remorseful during the hearing at all?
He said, I think all he said was he could have gone about it differently, but no, there was not really remorse at all.
Ah, there's a buzzer. Okay, wow. That just ticks me off to even think about it. All right, so it's bad enough that it happened. Now we got to look at the guy mocking people for caring.
Yeah.
All right, let me reset the clock real quick. 2 minute warning, go.
So this one's kind of on the same thread as the last discussion about trans dudes in girls sports, or not even trans dudes, just dudes in girls sports. This girl, Kate Fagan. So I don't know if you watch much of the sports show Around the Horn, which has been around for a long time. Anyways, it's coming near its end, and they decide to bring this girl, Kate Fagan, on, who was one of the original like members of the show. And the show format is you end the show with a 1 minute sort of monologue of your choice in terms of sports. She decided to give her monologue about trans kids and guys participating in girls sports, and basically went on a tirade talking about how trans kids deserve to participate in sports just like anybody else, and going on this morally righteous tirade on ESPN. It's not shocking of all places, talking about this. But I find it funny though, because the same day Charles Barkley, who is her colleague,
yeah.
openly said that he thinks anyone who is in support of men playing in women's sports is stupid. And it was nice to see that, to see somebody in the talk, you know, any of the talking heads in sports right now openly calling out this craziness and this mockery of, you know, guys playing in women's sports. It's, I don't know, ESPN likes to put these people on a pedestal because, you know, they're Disney owned. People like Kate Fagan, who like to, you know, virtue signal whatever to people. It's refreshing to see old players like Charles Barkley, the ones who really their opinion should matter over others,
yeah
openly mocking it and calling it out, because I think that's the only way it gets fixed, is if it gets openly mocked and called out. So yeah, that was really refreshing to see.
So when does Charles Barkley get appointed to be with Nick Saban on the commission?
I'm all for it. Put Charles up there with him. Tuberville, Saban, and Charles. I think they'd all do a great job.
Listen, I think there's a Saturday morning show there somewhere.
And yeah, who knows?
And there it is. All right, reset the clock. Do we have time? Go for it.
I mean, we have time for a mini dipper here.
Get it.
We got a UFC pay-per-view coming up this weekend. We got a title match between Bilal Muhammad and Jack Del Mandela. You see, the UFC names are the most obscure names of them all. But yeah, we got a title match, welterweight title match this weekend. But the main thing to watch this weekend is, so this match will determine who Islam Makhachev's next match will be, because Bilal Muhammad may fight, and you know, I don't expect you to know who this guy is.
I feel like you're making names up.
Islam Makhachev may be fighting Bilal Muhammad for the 170 belt if he wins. However, if he loses, then Islam Makhachev will be fighting Ilia Topuria at 155, confirmed by Dana White earlier this week. So it is big for that matter, and you know, there's not much. Bilal Muhammad is not a guy that a bunch of people are a fan of, but I think that is add intrigue to the match of what's going to happen next at 155. So it's another big pay-per-view this weekend with a lot of implications on it.
So Bananarama is going to fight.
Bananarama. Bananarama's on the undercard, actually.
All I know is I need to tell the audience that you sat there and did all that without notes, and that you were literally quoting those names that I don't think are even real, but without even looking at anything. So, all right, that's JP on sports. Good stuff, man. Appreciate you. We'll come right back. I'll tell you about Inspire Advisors, the sponsor of JP on sports, and then we'll move into Dipper number dos. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.